We are talking about becoming more like Jesus, about practicing the way of Jesus. And this morning, we're going to be talking about this idea of spiritual formation. And this week, hopefully, we're all practicing taking time with Jesus in solitude and silence and practicing the art of prayer. And this next week, you're going to continue in that first practice. There's not a new one that I'm going to introduce this morning, but we are going to talk about spiritual formation. That is, what is forming you? What is shaping your life, your character, your spirit? The Apostle Paul wrote these words to the epistle to the Romans, Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. He recognized that formation happens automatically often by the world, unless we intentionally make some very real choices. So, what is he talking about? You know, he says the world. Is it just the earth? Well, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Carly. It's very kind of you. Allow me to take a sip of this wonderful cold water. It's not just the world. I think he's talking about whatever it is we find ourselves being surrounded by. So for his immediate audience, you know, let's think about Rome. It's the Epistle to the Romans. Think about Rome. Imagine you are from just some random impoverished village in the empire, and you get off the boat in Rome. What do you see? You see this dazzling city of white stone. You see a land that's beautiful and opulent with fancy people and fancy buildings. You see bridges and aqueducts and temples housing idols and priestesses promising lascivious worship experiences. You see a stadium promising entertainment full of blood and death. You see food and wine for all audience in abundances. You find statues and reliefs and entire temples dedicated to the worship of the god King Caesar. And to that people, Paul would say, hey, don't be conformed to that world. Don't be conformed. The New Living Translation paraphrases that verse this way: don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Isn't that good? Yeah. The behaviors and customs of this world will affect us. It will affect the way we think and feel. And it's easy to let it's easy to see those things if you're a tourist in that place, you know? Like, if you are coming to Rome the first time, you're going to go, whoa, I see all of it, you know? But if you live there, then those sights and the smells and the feels and all those things, they're going to feel normal. They're going to feel invisible, and that means they're going to shape you a lot more effectively. So the world is, you know, that which we get used to, the thing that we're immediately surrounded by, the world is sneaky. It affects us most when we stop noticing it. I'll never forget my trip to Thailand as a teenager. I went to Bangkok. You know, I grew up in Youth of the Mission, so I went to Bangkok, and it was this incredible city that was so different in every way. Like, we were on a university campus, and there was people would gather these big circles of people and just play games and laugh and like all these things. I'm like, this is so different, you know? And then, you know, we'd go into the city, and there'd be sometimes elephants on the side of the road. And then sometimes there'd be a 3-lane highway, and there's somehow 16 rows of cars on that highway, you know? And it was wild. I'd never seen anything like it. And then, you know, you're going downtown in the city, and then you pass the red light district. You see all these rich tourists that are there for the sex tourism. And then you drive further and you see a whole, like, it looks like a city of Buddhist temples. And then you walk by these areas, and there's these spirit houses, and people leave these little bits of food for their ancestors. And for me, all of it seems strange. Some of it really beautiful, like the food and the rice and the curry they'd make on the sidewalks. And then some of it was incredibly sad and very awful. And as a visitor there, I could see it. But if you live there, I think the Apostle Paul would say, hey, don't be conformed to that world. Don't be conformed. What about our nation? What do foreigners think when they come here? They think all kinds of things. Believe me, this is another fascinating thing. When you're a youth of the mission, you have all these foreign people coming. You hear all kinds of interesting things. What if you've grown up in the jungles of Papua New Guinea and you come to Costco? Seriously. You guys know our friend George Nita. This happened with him when he brought relatives over. Lightheaded. Food is measured in the metric ton at Costco. Yeah. This is so different. They see this land of such great abundance. And then what happens? You're like in a hotel and you turn on a TV and you're like, whoa! You see people's lives being dominated by constant sensual pleasures and violence and greed and all these things. You're like, whoa, this is what this is about? When people come here, they see churches on every corner and they think this must be the most godly place ever. And then they're like, see all the gun violence and yet another shooting. And they're like, what in the world is this? How do these things coexist? How is there such violence and death and school shootings? And when you have such a religious people, how does this work together? You see, we get so used to it, sometimes we don't even think about it anymore. It's just kind of the way it is. But when you're coming from the outside, wow. So I think the Apostle Paul would say to you and I, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Here's how Eugene Peterson says it in The Message. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Huh? Now you know why I love Peterson. Isn't that great? And he hit the word, didn't he? That word, culture. That's really at the end what we're talking about. Culture is complicated, you guys. Just like Rome and Bangkok, there's beauty here and there's brokenness here. There's hope and there's horror. And all of it is working together to shape us. We're being formed by the world, by the culture, by the trappings of this age. On one level, it's unavoidable. Like, we don't live in a vacuum. We're already being shaped. But we are not powerless. Paul is clearly telling us to make a choice. We can choose many of the things that have influence over us. In other words, you guys, this is really good news. We have agency. You have agency. And if we don't use it, the danger is the culture will shape us by default. That will happen unless we make choices. But why is that? I started thinking, why is that, you know? Why is the world so sneaky? Why is culture so powerful? And I think it's as simple as this. Every culture, whether big picture culture, like a national culture, right? Or the small ones that we're a part of day to day, they all tell a story. In fact, the anthropologist named Clifford Geertz, I just saw this quote, he said he defined culture as the stories we tell ourselves about ourselves. That's what culture does. So the story of Rome, that big picture culture, that story was probably something like this. You are now in the greatest place on earth. Don't rock the boat. The story of America probably whispers, oh, pretty much exactly the same thing. But it's not the big, you know, macro cultures that shape us the most. I think it's the smaller ones. It's the small things we take time in. We don't even recognize. A lot of times we flow out of one bubble. Like, we're in a culture here, right? Well, you might be going to another one. Maybe you're going to a book club. Maybe you're logging onto Facebook. Maybe you're, whatever it is, right? There's all these other little things that all tell us stories. And I have tried to distill down some of the more common stories that I think we see on a day-to-day basis. So I'm going to be painting with a very broad brush here, and I'm having a little bit of fun with it. But just go with me on this. I started thinking, what is the story that cable news tells us? Araya? Cable news. I think it's this. If you're watching this channel, you're the good guy. If you want to save the world from the devils at Channel 57, stick around after a word from our sponsors. You're the good guy. So keep watching and you'll really feel good. That's the story. And I'm not picking on any specific news channel. I'm saying that's what you're going to be fed. That's continually what's going to creep in. How about Instagram? A lot of Instagram people here. Instagram, the story is you should be way more beautiful, more wealthy, and have a more perfect life. The heck is even wrong with you? I threw an even for Carly right there. Yeah. Twitter. You're not as angry as you ought to be, so read this. Is that true? Kind of. What about Facebook? By filling your time with rubbish news stories you already agree with, we will prove once and for all that you are a genius. That's the way the algorithm works, you guys. You share one thing, and then lo and behold, you see a whole bunch more of that exact mindset. And you start thinking, oh my gosh, why does no one else see this? Because they're seeing things that fit their exact mindset. It will convince you you're a genius because it'll put you in your own silo. That's literally what's going on. TikTok. Everyone's a narcissist except you. That really got you, wow. Josh has been on TikTok a lot lately, I guess, and is just realizing this. He doesn't have TikTok. Joshua does not, I promise you. That's funny, though. But that's sort of what you get. Everyone is just surrounding, like, you're the only sane one. I don't think that's true. What about video games? Whew. Real life is hard, so live in this life instead. This one really makes me sad because there's so many, especially young men, who have such a difficult time coping with the very, very hard things in their life. And so they find this world, they can master this world, they can beat the next boss, you know? And you get stuck there and you get shaped by it. About Netflix, just keep watching. You can think about deeper things after season 9. You need a break, not a rest, but a break from the hard things. So just binge another season, right? I didn't want to say this one. Janelle didn't want me to put this one up, but we both have to put it here. Sports. Here are 100 metaphors to convince you that this game is urgent, and here's a jersey so you can feel like you're part of it. This is the most important thing. Academia. You won't be ready for real life until you read these particular 53 books by our tenured professors. Disney, you are too unique and too special to live in the confines of community. It's what I get almost every time I watch a Disney movie. Strike out on your own. Trust your heart. How about this one? Fundamentalist religious culture. Be good so God can love you and you can finally fix everyone else. Anyone relate? Whew. Don't raise your hands, especially if you grew up in this church. Dear God, help us. That is not the gospel, is it? But that is a story that we can get if we surround ourselves in those circles. And it has God in there, so we think it must be true, but it's not true. It's not true. This is just a sampling. There are so many others. And at the end of the day, they're all advertising something. Culture advertises, especially when it can be monetized. And those are a whole bunch of cultures we just mentioned, and every one of them is monetized up the wazoo, guys. It is so much money that's being poured in order to tell us these stories. So to all of us, if Paul was alive today, he would be screaming, I think, do not be conformed. Do not. Here's the whole verse. This is from the Christian Standard Bible. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to all these stories. Don't let the stories take over. Instead, be transformed so you can discern those stories and tell which elements of them are actually praiseworthy. Because there are a lot of praiseworthy things. You see, after we read a list like this, some of you guys are thinking, okay, Haig, well, what are you suggesting? That I go live off the grid? Join a monastery? I mean, if you want to, but no, that's not what I'm suggesting. Suggesting that I stop watching TV, huh? No. You telling me to abandon my communication with my friends? No. You telling me I can't play Minecraft anymore? Where's Nathan? He's done it. No, I'm not. I truly am not. Here's what I'm saying. Friends, I'm saying I think we need to wake up and pay attention to the stories that are being fed to us, because if we immerse ourselves in any of those primary cultures too often or for too much time, we risk letting those stories overtake our real story, our primary story that we're supposed to be living, that we're apprenticed to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and our mission is to love God and to love our neighbors and to show the culture around us how beautiful he is. That is our primary story. And friends, this is why we so often mention things like social media and cable news. I know we mention them a lot here, I know. Maybe you're irritated when I say it. Forgive me, but I'm gonna keep saying it, because here's the thing. Those stories are so compelling and so addictive, they often make believers in Jesus Christ forget that the real plot in their life is Jesus Christ. And they start making us think the most important thing in the world, the most important thing in history is this particular interview right now, or this debate. You know how many debates have come and gone and got lost in history? That this particular election, you know, every single election is the most important election that's ever been. Every single one. But the more we dive into these things, the more it tells you it's all about right now. And that's not right. It makes us forget, wait a minute. I'm a son of Most High God. I follow Jesus of Nazareth. And there's some important things in this world, but he's still gonna be God, even in December. There's gonna be a December. And in 4 years, there's gonna be another election. And another 4 years, there's gonna be another election. And the people on cable will keep telling us this is the most important thing that's ever happened. Because they want us to keep watching their commercials and we can cash their checks. Do not be conformed. I urge you, brethren and sisters, do not be conformed. This has happened to all of us, I'm sure. In different arenas, right? It's happened to me 16 years ago. I used to always listen to talk radio, and there was an election, and I was like getting so worked up, and I felt like the Lord told me, hey, stop. Unplug. This is enough. This is enough. And I went 40 days, and I was still aware of what was happening, but I stopped listening, and I stopped obsessing, and I remembered who I was. I remembered who I was. It's happened in other realms too. This won't surprise you. This past spring, I might have mentioned it, the Dallas Mavericks made it to the NBA Finals. My Dallas Mavericks. My team, of which I am a part, a key part. Probably the key piece, if you really think about it. And they nobody thought they would do it, but they beat team after team, and I was so excited. And I'd watch a game, you guys, and as soon if they won, I'd be like, "Yeah, I gotta watch a live podcast now of people talking about the game I just saw." I'm so worked up, I couldn't go to sleep. I'd wake up the next day, and I'd be checking my Spotify news feed to see if maybe Bill Simmons or Zach Lowe was talking about the game which I just saw, because I wanted to hear more about it, even though I just watched it. this was happening. And I was like, okay, wait a minute. This is not the most important thing in the world, but this story is telling me this is so important. I got to dial that back. This is very easy to happen in all these different realms. You guys, it's good to be informed of world events. It's good to be connected to online communities. Hear me. I'm not saying these are bad things. There are beautiful books and movies. There's movies I watch sometimes that I feel like I draw closer to God. There's movies sometimes that I watch that bind us together. We went and saw Inside Out 2. I'm going to tell you guys, maybe something that doesn't speak to you, but I had a moment with one of my kids watching that movie, and it was beautiful because there were some deep and painful and beautiful things in there, and that was right and good, even though it didn't mention Jesus at all. You hear me? I am not saying we have to become hermits. I'm not saying we move away from these things. I'm saying please don't let them become your core stories. Please be aware of the way they're forming you so that you can discern what's the good and beautiful. You know, I'm mixing in Philippians 4 here, but so you can discern what is good and beautiful and what's true. This is one reason I think why we need to practice things like silence and solitude. Paul, you want to come on up? I'll bring Paul up. We were talking yesterday about, you know, Paul loves going out in the woods, like all the time. And we were talking about what happens when you get out in nature, away from all these things that we talked about. You know, there's nobody trying to tell you any lies when you're in nature, you know? There's just a tree, and it's 300 years old, and there it is. It's not saying anything. It's being super quiet, you know, which is kind of awesome. It is there, and you're like, wow, look, there's the sun. The sun came up. Hey, the sun came up again. How beautiful is that? The sun kept coming up. And then we start thinking about the Creator. See, there's something magical that happens when we get away from the stories and just get alone with our Father. Paul, I was looking to talk to somebody this morning, and I wanted to make sure I got somebody who got their pants at Costco.
It's formation.
It's formation.
How many other guys are wearing Costco garb right now? I think this is not unusual. Right.
Levi, Doug, look at the cross section here,
Jeff. Oh, Tyler's wearing these very pants as well.
Is he? Oh, man. I'm sure Costco. What's Costco's story? I don't know. I wish I had thought of that. Paul, you've done a really good job in this regard of noticing the things that are forming you. And you've done a good job at sort of like analyzing those things. Tell me, how have you done that?
One thing that I've done in recent years is pretty regularly trying to carve out time in my own life to sit and pray something like the prayer of examine.
The prayer of examine. What is that? We've talked about it before, but let's...
Yeah, we've talked about it before. So there's different formulations of the same prayer. It's a very old prayer, but basically it's a time to sit down, put yourself in the presence of God, and to review in your own heart and mind your day or your week or whatever, but to sit in the presence of God and just allow the memories of what did I do today, what did I think about, what did I, in this context, what did I consume today, and paying attention to like what's highlighting in your memory of the day, and just holding those things in front of God, and considering what would God want to highlight, and why is that thing being highlighted, and in particular, noticing what was happening in my heart or to my heart during that specific time. So.
Yeah, that's great. And you were getting specific about it, like a blow-by-blow of your day, but even how much time did I spend like on that website or listening to that thing? Yeah. So you were telling me you had one specific instance, I guess it has come up maybe a couple of times, of realizing something you were consuming was not making you more like Jesus.
Definitely more than once. I mean, it's easy to be driving to work and my default just turn on the radio and start listening to whatever angry voice is on the radio. And either I'm getting angry at that angry voice, or I'm joining the anger, or just noticing that, paying attention, or then a podcast later in the day, if it's feeding into. So just paying attention in the presence of God to say, In that moment, was I moving closer to God or was I moving further away from God? Was my heart more available to God or was it less available to God? And that's basically praying the prayer of examine is what was happening. And then considering, should I engage this anymore? And frankly, quite a few years ago, the first time I took a real break from politics or news, the radio in my truck literally broke. Driving to work. And I was really bummed and frustrated about it, but I noticed this is actually way better for my heart than the things that I've been consuming every day on my way to work. Yeah. The problem is there's also podcasts. As soon as I get it there, I push play.
Well, specifically to that thing about news, you were saying like you were realizing you were joining in on the anger, but it was even more than that. Like it was like you were becoming angry and frustrated and finding it more difficult to love other people as you listened.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you do?
Yeah, considering, yeah, is this thing I'm consuming, is this making it harder for me to love anybody, my neighbor, or even the person on the radio I'm listening to?
Right,
is
right.
it making it harder or easier for me to love them? And I don't know if this is too far ahead, but paying attention to even if they're right. Even if I agree with the argument that's being made or agree with the case that's being laid out, you can listen to something that's absolutely right and yet is forming your heart towards anger instead of love or towards
cynicism
fear.
Or fear is a big one.
Instead of yeah. towards peace and trust. And so not just paying attention to is this correct, but what is it doing to my heart? Let that be the barometer. And closer to Jesus, further away from Jesus. As we're closer to Jesus, peace is dominant in our hearts. As we're closer to him, it's easier to love our neighbor who has the opposite political sign in their yard that I would want. And as those things, like as we notice those resistances, say, okay, it's time to pull back.
Yeah.
Even if I'm right, I need to pull back because I need to love that person. And if you're examining your heart and saying, I don't think I could have that person at my table to have a meal with them without bringing up X, Y, or Z, maybe it's I'm feeding my heart the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to feed it more on Jesus. Maybe instead of listening to the radio, I should listen to Electio 365, for those of you who are familiar with that.
An app. It's a good app. That's a devotional app. I use it all the time. It's great. Yeah. Yeah.
Or if Jason's producing a podcast, maybe listen to one of those. But feed yourself something
yeah.
different
yeah.
and replace those things with something. Bible Project is something that I listen to a lot. But just replace those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll talk about more of that next week on replacing it. But I think that's really true because sometimes we need to replace those other stories, like the anger stories from the news, with a reminder of the big story you're a part of. And I think sometimes devotional stuff or like Bible Project or some of these things remind us, no, this is the truest part of you. You're a son of God. You're a disciple of Jesus. We need to be reminded. So the issue isn't, hey, take out anything that doesn't say Jesus in it. That's not the suggestion here. The suggestion is take out things that are pulling you away and making you less like Jesus and add in things that are reminding you of the big story and make you more like him. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's good stuff, Paul. You had mentioned this, Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You had an interesting take on that in this regard.
Well, I think we can misunderstand that sometimes and think if you give God what he wants, he's going to give you what you want. And I don't think that's necessarily what's being pointed at here. But to think of this more as a meditation piece, I think, so take delight in the Lord. So we have we have appetites that we can aim in directions. There's a difference between, I think, an appetite and a desire. A desire is more of that long-term longing. An appetite is how am I currently satisfying? We could be addicted to dopamine. Right?
Yeah.
And so we're chasing dopamine. And our appetite says, turn that radio, turn that podcast back on because that was really exciting last time. The appetite says, turn that on. But redirecting, pointing our desires away from that might mean don't turn that podcast on and instead listen to some different content or sit in silence. But what we're doing, we may not feel like doing it in that moment, but pointing our appetite in a new direction and God will form those desires or maybe make those desires that are truly deep in our hearts, he will realign them. And it'll be more and more easy to let our appetites and our desires be pointed towards what they should be, towards Jesus himself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think like to that point, over time, I think even our appetites begin to change and we begin to want the healthier things, the higher quality stuff. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? That's good, Paul. No, you can stay up here. We're gonna close. See here, what's gonna happen here this week is we're all gonna go into our home groups again, and there's going to be a video on spiritual formation, and they're even gonna have an assessment to encourage us all to take to think. Wait, what are our inputs like? What are we being formed by? And to have sort of some reflection in our own hearts, because they're all gonna be very, very different. So again, there's no shame in any of it. We start right where we're at, right? We start, hey, this is where we are. There's no shame. We're being invited to practice the way of Jesus at new levels. And sometimes that means unplugging from some of the things that aren't helping us. Let's stand together. Paul, would you pray a blessing over our congregation as they go on this journey?
Father, I pray that this week you would help each of us to pay attention to what's happening in our own hearts and to our own minds. And as we direct our attention to you, Lord, would you help us to discern what are those things in our lives that are allowing us to be closer to you, or those things that are actually stumbling blocks to us? And help us to discern past the right or wrong of it, Lord. Help us to not be too addicted to things that are true and yet malforming our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord, help us to be, help us to have a greater capacity and understanding of your love, of your peace. Help our trust in you to grow. Help us to be comfortable with our smallness in the world. Help us to not fill our heads and hearts with things that we can't actually influence, but help us to pay attention to the people that you are giving us to love right now. And we give you our hearts and we give you our minds this week.
Yes.
And we trust you and we love you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hey, prayer team's coming forward. If you guys need prayer for anything whatsoever, please come. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy your home groups. Yeah.